Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
If you see somebody that's trying to bargain with God, what do you typically think? You think of somebody, you're not on terms to bargain with God, but yet you see a lot of people who do it, don't you? If I'm sick and God, if you only help me to get over this, I will serve you. But what happens? They get better and then they're gone. They live the same old way they've been living. Now they try to bargain with God and God helps us and they're gone. We see a lot of that in the church, even here at Chalmette. Oh, I need work. I don't have work. And people help. They get back on their feet. And those feet carry them away from the church. They don't need God anymore. At least in their eyes, they don't think that they do. But when they were down, what did they do? They sought God. You can look around and you see a lot of that going on even with this congregation. You take people over the last year. Once God helped them through Christians, you no longer see them. So typically we think of somebody trying to bargain with God that is always on bad terms. But yet we see a man by the name of Abraham who actually, in a sense, bargained with God. His results are quite different, though, than what some of those people that we just mentioned. But now we notice a passage in Isaiah 41:8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. He's called the friend of God. What an incredible recommendation from God that He would say that He is His friend. Can it be said that we're a friend of God? Not just when we need something, but all the time. Is God our friend or are we the friend of God? God is always there for us if we'll serve Him. So if we find out that we're needing, we're lacking, it's not God's fault. It has to be our responsibility, wouldn't it? We have to understand that God answers the prayer of the righteous, not the unrighteous. And a lot of people tend to forget that. And you see a lot of people that really want to live with one foot in the church and one in the world, and that doesn't work. Typically, those people don't do either one real well. They're trying to be both things, and you can't be. You can't serve two masters. Jesus said that, didn't He? But now we read the passage that Butch read for us, and really Abraham is bargaining with God. But now, in quite a bit of a different sense than some of those people we just mentioned, let's notice the reading again in Genesis 18, verses 16 through 33. Says, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. I've lost my place here. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, thou shalt let 5 of the 50 righteous, will thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but once more. Preadventure, then 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. First, let's notice the attitude of Abraham. He said, I am but dust and ashes. See, he humbled himself. He was willing to go to God on the right, under the right conditions. He didn't go saying, God, here's what I'm going to do. God, I'm going to give you the contract and you sign it. See, we can't do that. And that's really, in reality, what a lot of these people that we mentioned earlier are doing. God, if you'll take care of me, provide for me, if I get the job, if my health is good, then I'll serve you. They've really tried to lay the contract down for God. We're not in a position to bargain with God that way. Why could Abraham go before God and ask these questions? Because he was a friend of God. But now, what does it mean to be a friend of God? Not just to say a few nice words, oh, I love God, and the Lord has come into my heart. No, that's just words. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how we show that we love God. Not just lip service. Not just saying the right things, but living the right way. And when we do that, that puts us in a position that we can talk to God. Think for just a moment. Going before the throne of God and petitioning Him. Brethren, that is something that is very powerful. We need to think about who it is that we're talking to. It is God, not just a man. And I was listening to a song the other day, the group I like quite well, but in their song they said, the man up above, he's not a man. That we can reason with him like that. And some of those terms, even though they may not necessarily meant to be derogative, they are. Because God is almighty. He is the one that spoke this world into existence. And we need to show due respect unto God who has all power. So powerful that he said, let there be light, and there was light. That is power, isn't it? And our God has that power. He has that ability. And in his Son is the one that we will stand before on the day of judgment. And on that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess humility. Now, some are going to have it too late. It's going to be too late to humble yourselves then, as far as your salvation is concerned. But there's not going to be any atheist on the day of judgment, not a single one. They all will believe in the Lord Jesus, and there won't be anybody asking questions to the Lord. He will be the one asking the questions. Where were you when I needed you? When I said, go, where were you? Had a man one time tell me, he said, I believe in Jesus and I accept him as my personal Savior. To begin with, that's unscriptural. But he said this, he said, but when I see him, I've got a lot of questions for him. No, you don't. You don't have a single one for him. He's got some for you, but you don't have any for him. We have to understand God is the one that is in control. Abraham understood that. That's the reason when God told Abraham, leave your home country, go. Abraham did what God said to do. That's what we must do. Whatever God says, we must do. Now, He speaks to us through His Word. We looked this morning where God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brethren, we must be willing to go and do what God said. That starts in our homes. It goes to the house next to us, and we must go into all the world. God has told us something to do. But Abraham could talk with God and persuaded God to spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah if there's only 50 righteous. Now, that doesn't speak very well of Sodom and Gomorrah to begin with. If only you can find 50. But yes, guess what? They didn't even find 40. Not even 30. Not even 10. Not even 5 could be found. Now, that also tells me something else. For the righteous, God will spare a city or even a country. Brethren, we need to have righteousness in this country. Our leaders, they look at, well, what's going to solve the problem? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's what the Word of God says. Proverbs 14, verse 34. He's stating a fact in that text. Righteousness will exalt a country. Brethren, righteousness will also exalt us individually. And the lack of it will bring us down. What do we do when we find out, hey, I'm down and I don't know what to do? Turn to God. And often you see people that once served God unfortunately, we know too many of these people, and they find themselves in some very terrible situations. What's the answer? Go back to what was working. Go back to God and turn your life back over to Him. And we need to remember what it's like to be in a saved condition. Brethren, don't take salvation lightly. How did salvation come? By and through Jesus Christ. What was the price of it? His blood. That means the price was high, the highest price that could be paid. So we need to have respect under the price that was paid and live and honor God with our lives. But now, Abraham's prayer to God was because he was familiar with prayer. You can tell by his prayer, this is not the first time that he's prayed to God. What about us? Sometimes people don't have experience praying because they haven't been a member of the church long. That's one circumstance. And that's not the one we're referring to. But sometimes you'll see somebody lead a prayer and you think, well, they've been a member for quite some time, but it doesn't seem like they've prayed very much. Certain things they would learn. And they would grow. The growth is not there. That tells us they're not praying on a regular basis like they should be. Prayer shouldn't be something that we simply do on Sundays. It shouldn't be something that we do just when we have a meal and we say a quick prayer, then let's eat. Prayer should be something that we start our day with. It sustains us throughout the day. And we should end the same way, thanking God in our prayers. We do go to God and ask the things that we have need of. We understand that. God wants us to understand that we need Him. He doesn't need us, but we do need Him. But now, with that being said, brethren, when we go to God in prayer, it shouldn't always be simply to ask for something. Now, Jesus did say, ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. But our prayer shouldn't always be just around us, our needs. We need to look out beyond ourselves. Abraham did. What did he pray for? Sodom and Gomorrah, a place that he didn't even live. He wasn't in the city, but he prayed for them. Brethren, we should be praying for others that have need. Those that are our brothers and sisters around the world, and some in much more difficult places than what we live in. And we should pray for them. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. It should be something that we have in our life on a regular basis, not just when there's a need. Abraham was familiar with prayer because he did it on a regular basis. That's the reason he's a friend of God. He walked with God. He was familiar with God. Brethren, God does answer prayer, but God wants us to understand where the blessings come from. And I'm afraid a lot of people don't understand that. We live in a country that has been blessed so much. What had happened to us? Well, we lost sight of God to a great extent, didn't we? And look what happened to us. Look what has happened to every nation that has forgotten God, that's put God out. Every single one of them come tumbling down. Brethren, we will not be the exception. Oh, we are a great nation, but because God has blessed us, so we must pray on a regular basis, not just when we have a need, but also our prayers must be unselfish, not just about self. I need to look out among the congregation. Who has a need? Who has fallen away? Who is in need of something? And pray to God on their behalf. That is what characterized Abraham, helping other people. He was concerned about Lot and his family, but also he was concerned at how people viewed God's people. Will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? We don't want this to happen this way. It's going to look bad. So he was concerned with how the righteous people looked, how they were perceived. We should be concerned with how the church is perceived. It should be a people that care for one another, that are there for each other. That is what characterizes us, the love that we have. This is how people will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. They will see Christ living in us, helping each other, doing good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, these are things that we must think about, not just self, not just my needs. Brother, we're always going to have some needs and things that we need to take care of. But if you'll serve God, He's promised that He will take care of those needs. We need to trust Him. And then we need to venture out further in our prayers than just thinking about self. We need to think about those out in the world. They're lost, and we need to go out and rescue them. Members of the body of Christ that have fallen away, we need to throw out the lifeline to them to bring them back to what they used to be. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we must consider others and not just ourselves. And our prayer should always be those things that seek the glory of God and not just being selfish on things that we don't really need to begin with. And it may be sometimes that God doesn't give us certain things because He knows we can't handle it. And maybe we should pray that way sometimes. Even for our children, God bless them, even financially, but not with more than they can handle. How many times has riches ruined people? That they forget God. I don't need God. Look what I've got. Look what I've done. And they shove God out of the picture. We need to learn to pray and have respect to God and all that He's done for us. And brethren, we can bring glory unto God and be a light shining in this community. And we are actually light reflectors. We reflect the light of the Son of God. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, S-U-N, we reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N. And that is what people should see in us, that we are people that pray on a regular basis. We pray for other people. What about out in public? Do people see us bow our heads and pray before we eat a meal out in public? Or are we ashamed? Well, if I bow my head and pray out in public, they're going to see that I believe in God and take this seriously. Therefore, I'm not going to do that. Brethren, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of God. We should not be ashamed of Christ. We should be glad that we are Christians and glad that He has allowed us to wear the name Christian, Christ-like, in our lives. But let's notice something else. Prayer doesn't always change the outcome. Prayer should change us. Look at Abraham. He prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what? It's still destroyed. Now Lot and his two daughters, ultimately what came out, his wife first came out, but what did she do? She turned back and looked. Couldn't turn loose of that former life. Don't we see a lot of that in today's the church today? A lot of people can't turn loose of that former life. Oh, I want to be a Christian. Yes, I want to be baptized. And they even go through that process. And even not even doubting their sincerity. But what happens to a lot of them? Can't turn loose of the world. They want to go back there. It feels good to them. But what they didn't do, they didn't count the cost. See, the pleasures of sin are only for a season. It's very brief. But eternity is forever. Hell and heaven, both, will never end. Where will we be? It depends on how we live now in this life. Do we serve God? Are we a friend of God? And we read this in Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 43, in reference to Jesus. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Now notice this next verse. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. God did not remove the cup from him. He even prayed the Son of God, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me that I won't have to go through this. But God didn't remove it. He sent an angel, and it says He strengthened him. You still have to go to the cross, Jesus. Because that's the only way that man can be saved. But what was Jesus' attitude? If I'm going to go through this, I don't want to serve. That's the attitude of a lot of people, isn't it? See, God doesn't remove every burden of our life. But He does strengthen us. How? Prayer is one. Through other Christians is another. Through His Word. Brethren, that's how we gain strength to endure. And we must learn that word, endurance. See, the race is not always going to be easy, but it will be worth it. But we can't stop short because God is worth it. His will is the only thing that will save our soul. Abraham, he didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. He did spare the righteous and didn't kill them with the unrighteous. Jesus, He didn't take the cup away from you. He did send an angel to give you strength. And what about you and me? Well, God does not always remove every single burden. Sometimes He may. but make sure you leave it in God's hand. He is the one that knows best. But God will give us strength. God will take care of us. Oh, if you ever enlisted in the race, if you ever enlisted in the Lord's army, thinking that it was going to be some kind of easy contest, it's all smooth sailing, you got in the wrong business to begin with. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're not promised an easy road, are we? But we are promised the help of the Lord. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He's always there for us. We're never by ourselves. That actually gives us comfort, doesn't it? I don't have to face whatever I face by myself. Think of the world for a moment. They do. Because they have separated themselves from God. That's what sin does, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. It separates us from God. He will not hear us. Not in that condition. He expects us to obey. So therefore, listen to God. Listen to what He tells us to do. Be willing to follow Him. We read in Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You don't have to fear everything. Oh, I don't know what's around the next turn. Neither do you. God does. Some will be good things. Some will be bad. Some won't be so pleasant. But I know that God will always be there for me. I know that God will help me. But now, Paul was writing to Christians, wasn't he? Therefore, I must be a Christian. He was writing to the Christians that were faithfully serving Him. Not the members that had fallen away. They need to come back to God. See, you can bargain with God if you're in the right position. God will help us. But it depends on what sense you're using the word in. Abraham, God, will you spare the city? If there's 50 righteous, He would spare it. Even down to 10. So God was willing to listen to Abraham. But brethren, Abraham put himself in the right position that God would hear him. God will not hear us if we're going to live in rebellion to His will. He expects us, and He has a right to expect us to be obedient unto His will. And brethren, we need to spend time talking to God. Because without that, we're not going to make it, are we? But with the help of God, we can do all things. Because He does strengthen us. We read in Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't give up. Don't stop. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Based upon this fact, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need mercy. Sometimes people say, I want justice. Better be careful. If we all got justice, we'd be lost. Jesus came because He loved us. He showed mercy. There's going to be a day of justice. But brethren, what we need is mercy. But He says, you can come boldly to the throne of God. You can know that God will hear you. You've got to be in the right condition. You've got to meet God on His conditions, not man's. You can't say, God, here's how I'm going to do it, and I expect you to go along with it. It doesn't work that way. A lot of people have tried that. But God is always there for us. We should never give up. We should never stop. Even when we feel like we don't know what to do, God will carry us through. Remember the footprints in the sand? There's only one set of footprints. God, you must have deserted me. Well, there's only one set of footprints. That's when God's carrying us. Because we couldn't even carry ourselves. We couldn't walk. We couldn't go on any further. But God was always there for us. Are you in the right condition to be able to pray to God? You have to be a Christian in order to do that. You have to be willing to confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Man sometimes doesn't like that one because that means a change of heart. I was living in sin. I've given that up. Why? Because it hurts my Father. and be baptized for the remission of sins. As a child of God, are we still in praying condition? Oh, I love God as much as anybody. Words are not enough. We must be willing to obey, not just say the right words, but do the right actions. If we're a child of God, we can fall away. We can lose our inheritance. Doesn't have to be that way if we choose not for it to be. But look around you. There's people here this morning. They were in the worship assembly. Now, I know some are traveling. But some, they got all they think they needed this morning. It'll hold them till next Sunday, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Some people think they have deceived other people, and the only person that is deceived is themselves.